Good morning. How are we doing? Good, 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 good. There we go. Good morning. A lot of announcements today. Well, we've got to get things done, and so I just want to encourage you on September the 4th, if you've been saved and you've never been baptized, we're going to be doing baptism after the service. So if you've never been baptized, please come and see me afterwards and we can arrange to take you to your funeral and resurrect you as a new being in Christ Jesus and give you an opportunity to be obedient to God and to His Word, because that's what it says. So let's go. I'm running out of time already. So let's turn in our Bibles, please, to Psalm 111, Psalm 111. And we continue with our series, Our God. And so, are we good? It's coming. I can see it. It's coming. Okay, so Okay, I'm going to go and they're going to catch up. So we started our series last week, Our God. So today is part two, Our God. And last week, well, it's not going to help you very much if I can't get this thing going. I'll sing a song, yeah. I'll do it. Where's Susan? Come do an interpretive dance with me, Susan. Yeah, yes, we got her to do it. Oh, chicken. We've been trying for so many years to get Susan. There we go. Our God, part two. Okay, so last week we did the goodness of God, and we had a look at a couple of things, like God is originally good, God is infinitely good, God is perfectly good. When we say infinitely, it means He's noticeably much more, by a long way. He's perfectly good. He is perfect, we're not. And then we said He is immutably good, which means absolutely, indisputably, undeniably, God is good. Amen. Amen. And then we just closed off by having a look at the God of the onlys, only Christ, only grace, only faith, only His Word, only His glory, and only His people. And we looked at the piece of scripture when Christ says, if you have aught against your brother, take your gift. Put it aside, go make right with your brother, then bring your gift. And so we got to learn that not to waste our time praising God when we have aught against our brothers, because basically the scripture says that doesn't work that way. And so we got to go and make right with our brothers and sisters, then bring our gift, because otherwise scripture says our soul is in danger. And then we looked at Psalm 52:1 last, and it said, the goodness, so this is King James Version, the goodness of God endureth continually. I love that. That's like a present participle, saying that it's ongoing all the time. God is good, 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 good. Amen. Okay, so, and I said, turn to your Bibles to Psalm 111, and we're going to read a few scriptures, and we're going to read from verse 4. And I'm reading out of the ESV, English Standard Version, so it might be a little bit different to you. He has caused His wondrous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and merciful. He provides food for those who fear Him. That's not just natural food, that's physical food, spiritual food as well, food for the soul. Food that will fill us up. Like this morning we cried out to God, well, I trust You. I want to encourage you. You know, when we get a moment where the Holy Spirit moves, let it rain. Let it rain. And when Janine encouraged us this morning, if there are things that are not right in your life, call out to God. Don't worry about the people next to you. Call out to Him. Who's got their life 100% right here? I'd like to meet you. Yeah, lay hands on me so I can get the anointing. So we're just admitting we all got sort of issues. Call out to God. He will hear you. And he'll, you know, when we just passive, anyway, I'm losing my way completely. Anyway, let's just stick, I mean, anyway, okay. Yeah. You know, people, you know my brother's story. I would openly weep in me, and I'm not, oh, look at me, I'm a hero. I'm trying to help you. I would openly weep in prayer meetings and call out his name and call out to God. And God is faithful. God is faithful. If we just like, yeah, okay, well, God, in your good time, you just do it. No, 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 let's get desperate. I had a vision this morning. Janine was imploring us this morning. I wanted to get a bucket of water, and I thought, who could I do this to? And I thought Johnny would be the good boy. Take his head and stick it in the bucket of water and watch you all. And when he starts to jerk a little bit, I'm just going to hold it there. And then you all going to get a little bit, what? And then he's going to fight a little bit more, and I'm still going to hold him there. But he's a big, strong boy. And he'll eventually rip his head out the bucket, and what are you doing? And I'd ask him, how desperate for you were you for air? That's how desperate we got to get. For our families and our friends. We got to get desperate for them. Well, God, you just do it whenever you want to do it. No, no. Anyway, that had nothing to do with my sermon. Let me find out where I was. He remembers, he provides food. There we go. Spiritual food, healthy food, food for the soul. There we go. He remembers his covenant forever. He doesn't forget his covenant. His covenant is forever. And we have to remember that the covenant that he cut with his son, he didn't cut it with us. We are the recipients of that covenant. So when we mess up, and we're going to talk today about faithfulness and faithlessness, when we are faithless, that doesn't mean the covenant goes away. The covenant is still there because he cut the covenant with his son on our behalf. Don't worry, guys, and I preached on that a little while ago. So he remembers his covenant forever. That's got to be encouraging. He has shown his people the power of his works in giving them the inheritance of the nations. He is faithful to do what he promises he will do. It's not a hit and miss. You can take it to the bank and you can bank it. He is faithful. He will do what he says he will do. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. Isn't that cool? His precepts, his rules or his doctrine or his ideas or his thoughts or his precepts are trustworthy. We don't have to go, I wonder if God will keep his word. I wonder if he'll do, you know, because we're like that. Don't worry, I'll call you. I'll see you. You know what the best one for Christians is? Don't worry, I'll pray for you. And then next week, hi, how's it? Did you pray for me? Now we're either going to get to lie, or we're actually going to get to tell the truth. No, I forgot. Don't worry, I'll pray for you. And because we are infallible, thank you. Because we are fallible, I tried it the other day and someone said, no. So anyway, because we are fallible, we will fail. So I've taken a habit of now when someone asks for prayer, I'm going to pray for them right there, right then and there. Right then and there. Now I'm going to pray for you, and when I remember during the week, then I'll pray for you also. So when we want to pray, so I'm asking you, remember to pray for Kevin and Trish while they're away. I know, in Jamaica, man, having a wonderful time. Well, then go for it. Don't wait for me to tell you to pray right now. Pray for them right now. All these precepts of faithful and uprightness. He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. Because of all the above that I just spoke about, holy, 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 holy and awesome is his name. And so we're just going to move on a little bit, and we see, looking at the faithfulness of God and everything that God does for us and is through us. And we read in Matthew 26. Remember when Peter was going to deny Jesus. Well, we don't know he was, but we read the script, we know the story. Peter says to him, he says, Jesus, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. That sounds pretty firm. Don't worry, Mark. We with you all the way. Where'd they go? Now Peter was, and Jesus betrayed, we know the story, and the verse 26 of Matthew 26 ends up going like this. Then all the disciples left him and fled. A complete hashtag utter failure on mankind's part. You know, in the old days it used to be a man's handshake or his word was his bond. It was good enough. I'll do it for you, handshake, that's it. What about now we want contracts and we want it in triplicate and we... Covenantal marriage vows are broken as easily as discarding an old piece of clothing, an item of clothing. Promises of I'll do this or that are strewn upon a seashore of broken promises. Only God is faithful. I don't take this like, well, that's really not fair, Mark. Now, life's not fair, but this is us as people, and praise God that we have a faithful God. He never fails, he never forgets, he never falters, and he will never forfeit his word. But God said, I should do this. Just Rolodex. Is that in God's nature? Is that in God's character? Is that in God's word? No, God never said that. Just trying to help you. But God said, and of course you can never argue with God said, because, you know, when someone says God said, so you've got to do a Rolodex and go, is that in his nature? Is that in his character? Is that an attribute of God? Is it in his word? No, it's none of those. So let's have the first thing we want to look at today. So we didn't get this far yet. Our God is faithful. That's what we're going to talk about today. So the first one is, God is faithful is his nature. God's faithfulness is his nature. Deuteronomy 7:8. But it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore, listen to this, that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God, who keeps a covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. All God's faithfulness and his love for his people, that he is faithful. We read, remember last week, we looked at Exodus 34:6, and it says, abounding. God is abounding in love and faithfulness. We're making much to do about this, as it were, so that we can grasp hold of how good our God is, how faithful he is, even when we mess up. It's not about how good or great or excellent we are. It's all because he chose us. It's all to do with his character, as I've said, his nature, and his faithfulness. We see that God controls all of history and his creation, and he protects and carries forward every promise that he laid out for us. He protects and carries us forward on his promises. And sometimes we might be going, well, I haven't seen that one come fulfilled yet or come to fruition yet. And that could be well true. But it will come to pass. And sometimes it takes time. Sometimes it takes a little bit more of that calling out. Sometimes it takes a little bit of carpet work. Sometimes it takes a little bit of, it's not about me, it's about the other people. But we always, well, what about me? Want to fix me? I can't fix you. Only Holy Spirit can help you. Romans 12:1-2. Renew your mind. Get onto God's page. When he says here, to 1,000 generations, this is more of a proverbial expression of endless faithfulness. The tension is more of his faithfulness other than when we hit the 1,000 generations, well then I'm just going to back off of my faithfulness. No, that's not what he's saying. He says, continually, forever. Remember Psalm 52:1. His faithfulness endureth continually. We got to know scripture to grab hold of it. It says God is originally, infinitely, perfectly, and immutably good. He is also originally, infinitely, perfectly, and immutably faithful to us by nature. It is His nature. It is His character. It is His attribute. Listen here, Scripture says, He is the faithful God, not a faithful God. He is the faithful God. The second thing we need to have a look at is that God is faithful to His name and to His character. 2 Timothy 2:13. If we are faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. That's good news. Well, because we think, well, God is so far, and I've messed up, and I've been faithless, so therefore the whole relationship is broken now. And that's the enemy trying to tell you that it's all messed up. Because He still loves you the same. He still is committed to you the same. He is still looking after you the same. It's just you that have taken that little sidestep. And it's up to us to get back into line again. And for Him, because of what He says, even when we prove to be faithless, He will be faithful. Romans 3:3. Here we're talking about God's uprightness being upheld. When the Jews were entrusted, the Old Testament, were entrusted with the oracles of God, we know how what happened. 40 years in the desert, walking around and around and doing their thing and not paying attention. And here in Romans 3:3, it's talking about that. It says, what if some did not have faith? Well, what if some don't have faith? Well, will their lack of faith nullify God's faithfulness? No, not at all. Let God be true and every man a liar. God's not faithful to me. That's a lie. He is faithful. God will be true. He will be faithful. He will make sure that He is faithful. He is full of oath. He never fails. He never falters. He never forgets. He never forfeits His word. Sometimes we can't even believe in ourselves. And we've got to, no, you can do better. Let's encourage each other. And we all love to be encouraged. We all like to be affirmed. Let's not pretend we don't. If it helps you, I like to be encouraged. I like to be affirmed. But even when I'm faithless, oh well, it's okay, God will be faithful. Then we can pull that like little get out of jail card. No, no. God will be faithful. But it doesn't mean it's like the same as with the law and grace. Well, we're not under law anymore, we're under grace, so therefore I can do what I like. No, you can't do what you like. We have become His bondservants, bought at a price by Him. Oh yeah. When God swore His oath to Abraham, He couldn't find anyone higher than Himself to swear, so He swore an oath by His own names, Hebrews 6:13. In Psalm 106, go and read it, it's a fascinating psalm. It's all about the Exodus, and it helps us to understand the Exodus from Egypt. And he says, and although the people failed and sinned and gave no thought to the miracles God was working, He was faithful to them for His name's sake. Verse 8, it says, yet He saved them for His name's sake to make His mighty power known. Now, some, have you ever prayed this prayer? In spite of me, Lord, would You do this? Because sometimes we are pretty hopeless. Oh, no, not you. Me. I'm sometimes pretty hopeless. I'd hate you to think you were any other than good and all that kind of stuff. Number 3, God reveals His faithfulness to the faithful. Wow. When we hear this, our attitude should not be, well, this is my get out of jail card, this is my go free, this is my... God has an expectation for us to be faithful and obey His commands. You know, this is not my original thought. I heard Ty preach this. And by the way, if you don't know the guy that was speaking, that's Tyrone. He's the leader of our translocal apostolic team, and he'll be here. Gary Smalley, five languages, love languages. Gary Chapman, thank you. Okay. Gary Chapman, five languages, shows you how much I pay attention. Five love languages. Who knows what they are?
Acts of service, gifts, quality time, words of affirmation, and
Physical touch. Yeah, I know. The men normally just get stuck on physical touch. Anyway, let's move on. Do you know what? Those are actually not even biblical principles. They're good. They're helpful. Did you ever consider what Jesus' love language was? I'm trying. What's Jesus' love language? Very good, Jasmine. Obedience. If you love me, you will obey me. Well, let's go Gary Chapman. No, let's go Jesus. Anyway, just saying. It's getting quiet in here today. God reveals, you can say amen or ouch. I don't mind. I won't judge you. God reveals his faithfulness to the faithful. You know, in 1 Samuel, we have Eli and his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. And Hophni and Phinehas were not men of God, and they ignored God's prescribed way in bringing the sacrifice. So, praise God, we're in a new covenant now. Old covenant, God comes along and says to Eli, says, you know, your two boys, Hophni and Phinehas, yeah, they're both going to die today. Because they have disrespected me and they've disobeyed me and they've disrespected my precepts and my ways, and so they're going to die. And in 1 Samuel 2:35, he says, I will raise up for myself a faithful priest. He's looking for a faithful priesthood who will do according to what is in my heart and my mind. How are we doing? He's actively looking for faithful people to fulfill his work. Matthew 25:21. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Don't we want to hear those words from Jesus? Come and share your master's happiness. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Galatians 3:14, so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we receive the promised Spirit through faith. The revelation of the two promises of Christ's redemptive work has been done. It has been accomplished, has been fulfilled. He came to redeem us, all of us, the Jew and the Gentile, to redeem us, to buy us out of slavery. He purchased us with his blood and his death on the cross, and he took us into his family. He paid the full price for us so that we can walk in this liberty and this freedom, and we can look to him and we can be faithful and we can honor him. And he says in Genesis 12:3, I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. It was from the beginning the intended plan of God for the Gentiles as well as the Jews to be united into one family. That the gospel promised to precede anything else that God's dealings with his people would include. The giving of the law, we know that. And Abraham was saved by faith at the time. Galatians 3:6 tells us that. And so we are therefore, and Abraham and his spiritual descendants, both Jews and Gentiles, have been declared righteous by faith. This is good news for us. That we can walk in faithfulness knowing that it was from time. This wasn't like, wow, I got to the end of the book of Malachi, or if you like to be Italian, the book of Malachi. And we got to the end of Malachi, and for 400 years God didn't know what to do, and so he just sat around and said, oh well, I think we should send my son. No, it was always the plan. You go back to the beginning, always have a look. First mention, saved by faith, and all his descendants, we are descendants of Abraham, including the Gentiles, will be saved by faith. All believers to receive the promise of the Holy Spirit by faith. Lastly, I'm doing pretty good, I thought. God is faithful to fulfill his promises. After the flood, he made a promise. And we know this, never to destroy any living creature as he had done before. In Genesis 8:22, it says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. And here God makes this promise of this never-ending cycle of life. And the animals have figured it out, and they know when they should migrate, except the few stupid geese who live just off my property. Dudes, it's winter. Go south. I'm sure you have all of them around your places as well. It's freezing cold, and then they're going. You forgot to go south with the rest of the guys. Anyway. Oh, yeah. Where was I? All of creation depends on His faithfulness to this promise that He made. And they're waiting, and they know that this is when we migrate, this is when we reproduce, this is a springtime, is when we've got all of our little babies, this is when it happens, this is when winter comes and everything else around us dies, and we've got to go in hidey hole, and we go and hibernate, and we do all our kind of stuff. All of this was sent forth in His faithfulness. Only we are human, only us. We have... I know, I don't know about you, I'm perspiring, because I'm not allowed to say the word sweating from the pulpit. I'm perspiring at the moment, because it's hot. And you think, well, you come from Africa, you're supposed to be used to this stuff, and I'm never used to it. I can't wait for fall. Please let fall come quickly. I know you're all going to shoot me, but yeah, no, there we go. Cause a riot. In Genesis 15, 13 to 16, God made a prophecy over Israel. And that they would be bowed under slavery in the kiln of Egypt for 400 years. And that this was going to be their lot. And then in Exodus chapter 12, 34 to 36 and 40, said, as God had prophesied them, they'd be in this strange land. They were now all of a sudden being released hurriedly. Please go. We know the story of the plagues that took place. And then they paid them wealth and they helped them pack up and said, you know, let's just get out of here and go. And their thing was to go and worship God and be faithful in the desert, but we know that didn't work out so well. And then in Isaiah 7:14, and I'm just giving you a quick timeline through the scriptures. Isaiah 7:14, we see a promise of His faithfulness when He says He will give a sign of a virgin birth. And then in Matthew chapter 1, we can go and you can read the genealogy from Abraham to Mary and the revelation of His faithfulness. And in Galatians 4:4, and it says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law. If you go and read the Old Testament through to the New Testament, you'll see God is faithful to His Word. He made the promises. He said, this is going to happen, and it happened. And then this will happen, and then it happened. And then this will happen, and then it happened. And we see it right through to this. When the fullness of time had come and God had been waiting, can you imagine how would the gospel go out in the fullness of time? Well, He had engineered it so. Roman civilization by then had brought peace and a road system that could support travel had been built all over the place. The Grecian civilization had provided a common language. The Jews had been proclaiming monotheism and they were looking forward to a Messiah. And when the world needed a Savior, even more than before, in the fullness of time, when this had all been laid out, I know we never think that way, when the gospel was ready, when the roads were prepared, when we could all speak one language, and when everything was moving and shaping together in the cosmic world, God sent His Son. Incarnation, Jesus Christ came down to earth and lived here for 33 years and lived upon this earth. And then He died and He rose again. And I was thinking about getting you to stand up, but I'm not. But I'd like you just to close your eyes and listen to Psalm 145. Just forget about everyone around you. Just think about His goodness and His faithfulness towards us. I will extol You, my God and King, and bless Your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless You and praise Your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend Your work to another and shall declare Your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of Your majesty and on Your wondrous works I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of Your awesome deeds, and I will declare Your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. All our works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works. Thank you, Lord. So, just to leave with you, God is faithful by nature. He is faithful to his name and character. He is faithful to reveal himself to the faithful. He is faithful to fulfill his promises. What promises or what areas of your life are you looking for God to be faithful in? So, Lord, we come to you this morning, Lord, and we just declare your goodness to us. We thank you, Lord, that you are a faithful God. We thank you, Lord God, that you, from time immemorial to now and to into the future, Lord God, that you would remain faithful. That you have sworn an oath on your own name, Lord God. There was no other name high enough. So God, we come and we bask in your glory this morning. Lord, we look to have a higher view of you, a deeper revelation of you, our Father in heaven. A deeper understanding of your depth of your love for us. How wide and deep is your love for us, Lord. How true you are to us. When others might fail us, God, that you would never ever fail us. We would hold on to your nature, onto your being, onto your attributes, and onto your promises, Lord. Thank you, God, that you are the faithful God. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.